Shir is Daf Pei, and we're going to begin on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara mentions another thing that a Meimah taught us in the name of the Sabbe de Pumpadisa. Amar a Meimah, Han Nami Sabbe de Pumpadisa Mirna. The following halacha was also said by the Sabbe de Pumpadisa. Ditma, Ezu Yisher Estam. What tree can we assume is an Ashera? As we have spoken and we'll still speak in Mitzvah Shem today, an Ashera is a tree that was worshipped as an Avodah Zarah, that the halacha is that you're not allowed to have Hana, you're not allowed to benefit from that tree. So if I see a tree and I don't know that it was worshipped for Avodah Zarah, how can we identify it and say that it was? Says the Gemara Amar Rav, Kol Shem Shasei Avodah Zarah Shemnesai. If we see that it's guarded by the attendants of the Avodah Zarah, we could assume that it's an Asherah tree. Vain time in Parasa, and we see that they don't eat from the fruits of that tree. Again, that's a proof that this is an Asherah tree. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Kigoyin the Amri. If we see that people say, Hani Tamri l'shikra, these dates will be made for beer, the Bein Nitzrafi, that will be used in the house of the Avodah Zarah called Nitzrafi, the Shosolei B'Yom Chagam, which this wine, this beer, was drunk on the day of their holidays, that is already a proof that that tree is a Asherah tree. Amra Meimer, and that Meimer said, V'amli Sabbat from Bedisa, Hilchus Kavasei the Shmuel, that Loch is like Shmuel, that even though we see the dates being used, but we see that they're being guarded and put away, we could assume that it's a avoid, that it's an Asherah tree. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah that if one person is contributing the food for the neighbors, for the Shtuf Mivars, for the Ruve Chetzeris, the halacha is that the food, he has to be mezaka, he has to confer ownership on that food by having it lifted off the ground, a tefach. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a braisa, Ketzad Mishtof Mavui, how is Shtuf Mivars established? Mevin Chavishal Yayim Bishal Shem Bishal Tamarim. You bring a barrel of wine or of oil or of dates, v'shal brogris, of dried figs, v'shal shar mini peiros, or other types of fruits, im mishaloi, if the food belongs to the person who's bringing it, tzorach lezakos, he has to somehow confer ownership of these food products to the other neighbors, v'im mishalhen, if the food belongs to the other people in the neighbor, tzorach lohidia, he has to tell them that he's using their food, because as we've learned, if somebody will not allow his food to be used by the other neighbors, that Erev or Shittuf will be disqualified. And it says that you have to just pick up from the floor this food, a mashu, in order to confer ownership. Yet, in the Mishnah it says, you have to pick it up a tefach. Answers the Gemara. My mashu nami de kamar. When the brisa means a mashu, it means a tefach, and it's one and the same. So, like the Rosh explains, that why are we calling this a mashu? Because since in all other areas of halacha, we have to have a tefach, a shlosh tefachim, in order to be considered that you did a hagbah. And here we're saying that just a tefach is adequate. That's why the brisa calls this tefach a mashahu. But the brisa means that you should use a mashahu. The Gur Aryeh makes an interesting distinction. He says there's a difference when you pick up the item from the floor versus when you pick it up not from the floor. He says, our Mishnah is speaking in a situation where you're picking it up from the floor. Since it's being lifted from the floor, that's when the brisa requires that it be lifted a tefach. Because normally, we know that for something to be considered lifted from the floor, it has to be lifted three tefachim, because we know that less than three tefachim we say lovet. Here, because of Erevin, so the Rabbanon were makel that a tefach is enough, but you at least have to have a tefach. However, he says, the Bryce is speaking about a situation where it's being lifted off a table. Since it's being lifted off the table, so we don't have a concern of loved, and therefore that's what the Bryce means when it says it's enough if you just lift it off a mashal. Itmar. So the Bryce says, Shtufa Mavos. Regarding Shtufa Mavos, Rav Amar Ein Tzarech L'Zakos. There is no requirement that if one person is contributing the food for the Shtufa Mavos or the Aruvah Chatzeres for all the other neighbors, that he should have to do an act of conferring ownership for his owners. So there are two points. One point is, our Mishnah clearly said that you do have to have Zikui. So Rashi and the Rishonim explain that we will have to say Rav Tanu Palak. Sometimes in Shas we say the Rav has the status of a Tana and he has the right to argue with a Tana in the Mishnah. Why does Rav hold that there's no need for Zikui by Erev Chatzeres or Shtufa Mavos? He says, what is the need for a Kinyan? What is the need for a Kinyan, the Rishonim explain? To show that I really meant to acquire or to sell the item. Here, it's obvious that I want to sell it because it gives me a tremendous advantage at very little expense that I should be able to carry in the Mavu and the Chatzar. And therefore, since it's so obvious that the neighbors want to be included in the Erev, there is no need for a Kinyan. Other Rishonim explain that since we're dealing with a Derabonon, Erev Chatzeres, Shtufa Mavos, Derabonon, so Chazal waived the need for a Kinyan, for the Zikui that's normally required. What about Shmuel Amar? Shmuel says, Tzarech L'Zakos, Zikui is required as it is as the Mishnah says. Erev Tchumim. What about Erev Tchumim? Rav Amar Tzarech L'Zakos. Rav is going to hold that be'erev Tchumim Zikui will be required. B'Shmuel Amar Ein Tzarech L'Zakos, Zikui will not be required. Tosfos gives three reasons why Shmuel does not require Zikui by Erev Tchumim. One reason Tosfos says is that by Erev Chatzeres, Shtufa Mavos, I'm gaining ownership, I'm gaining rights in somebody else's property. So there's, so to speak, a buyer and a seller. So therefore, we have to go with the normal methods of transaction where Zikui is required. In Erev Tchumim, I'm not getting ownership in someone else's property. I'm just being kind of shvisa in a spot that doesn't necessarily belong to anyone. Therefore, there is no need for Zikui. Another reason Taisu gives is since Erev Tchumim are only done L'Tzorich Mitzvah, that's why Chazal were Mekel and did not require Zikui. Another reason is that Erev Tchumim, explains Taisus, can never be made without the express permission and authorization of the person for whom the Erev Tchumim is being made. Because as we've explained many times, Erev Tchumim is not really a benefit always. Because what you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. So the person for whom the Erev Tchumim is being made has already indicated that he's satisfied with this Erev Tchumim being made. Once he's indicated that he's satisfied, there is no need for further kinyonim, for further zikui. However, by Erev Chatzeres, there will be a need, according to Shmuel. And Tosfos continues that, indicating some of the differences that exist between Erev Tchumim and Erev Chatzeres. Tosfos says that Erev Chatzeres requires bread to be used. Erev Tchumim doesn't require bread. On the other hand, by Erev Tchumim you have to have enough food per person, two meals per person. And as by Erev Chatzeres, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, you need, if you have many people, two mealfuls is enough for as many people as you have. Also, by Erev Tchum Taisus indicates Hashaleich Aruva, if somebody attempts to establish an Erev Tchumim Biat Cheresh Shoit of a cotton, the Erev will not be an acceptable Erev. By Aruva Chetzeris, the Aloch is that a cotton, a miner, could be the one that could collect the Erev Chetzeris for all the members of the neighborhood. There's an interesting Shaila. When Zikui is done, when it has to be done, when should the Zikui be done? Should the person who's making the Erev first establish the Erev, make a bracha, and then do the Zikui, or should he first do the Zikui and then make the bracha? The Goyen Yaakov, and so it's brought down in the name of the Arizal, both say to first make the bracha, make the Erev and make the bracha, and then do the Zikui. Bishlam l'Shmuel continues the Gemara. According to Shmuel, Hachatanan, our Mishnah explicitly said that Zikui is required for Erev Chetzeris, and that's why Shmuel passes that way. For Hachalaitanan, there is no Mishnah saying that by Erev Tchumim Zikui is required, and that's why Shmuel says Zikui is not required by Erev Tchumim. Ela l'Rav, but according to Rav, my Tama, what's his explanation? So this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. For Ruvich Chetzeris, we already said the Rav Tanhu Palig, Rav is arguing on our Mishnah. But where does Rav take that Ruvi Tchumim requires Zikui? Says the Gemara Tanoihi. This question of Ruvi Tchumim does it or does it not require Zikui is Machlok Tanoim. Dom Rav Yehuda Merav, Mas Bekalos Shere Baishia. There was a story with a daughter-in-law of Rav Baishia. Shehoch Lebeis HaMerchatz, that she left the city on Friday afternoon to go to the bathhouse, which was generally outside of the city, to Chashkala. And it got dark, became Shabbos before she got home. Ve'ervelo Chamosa. So her mother-in-law put down an Erev Tchumim on her behalf. Obo Mas Lefnei Rav Chiya V'Asar. And this story came in front of Rav Chiya, and he said that Rav Oshia's daughter-in-law cannot rely on this Erev Tchumim. Amar Rav Yeshua Rav Yossi. Bavloi. He called him Bavloi because Rav Chiya was originally from Bavel. Kol kach ata machma be'erevin. Are you so machma in Erevin? Kach ama abba. My father Rav Yossi said, kol sheyesh l'chola haka be'erevin hakel. Wherever you could be lenient in Halchas Erevin, you should be makel. So why are you machmer? Viboilu. So we want to try to understand what was the reasoning behind Rav Chiya's psak. Was it Mishal Chamosa Irvala that a mother-in-law used her own food to establish the Erev Tchum on behalf of the daughter-in-law? And what was the problem with it? Shimdalai Zichsala. She did not do an act of conferring ownership on behalf of the daughter-in-law. Or Dilma Mishalah Irvala. She used the daughter-in-law's food. Since it was made without the daughter-in-law's consent, that's why he said it wasn't acceptable. But according to this position, had the daughter-in-law actually consented to the Erev, we could say that the Erev is valid since it was beneficial to her. Amalahen, Hahum Rabban Rav Yaakov Shmei, L'day Mefash L'Menei Rav Yochanan, Mishal Chamasa Erva, the mother-in-law used her own food, Mishim D'Lai Zichsla. And the reason Rav Chiya disqualified it was because there was no Zikui. So that is the basis for Rav's psak that Erev Tchumim requires Zikui. Amalei Rav Zeila Rav Yaakov Reid Bes Yaakov. So Rav Zeila said to Rav Yaakov, the son of Yaakov's daughter. And Rashi points out, why was this Rav Yaakov called by his mother's name, not by his father's name? So Rashi says, perhaps his father wasn't such a chosh of a person, and that's why he mentioned he's called by his mother's name. I saw a pshat from the Tshuvas HaGa'inim. It's not necessarily to say that his father wasn't such a special person. Perhaps his mother was a special person, and his mother was had a very important influence in his chinuch, that he turned out to be what he was, and therefore he was called in his mother's name, credit to his mother. Kimatas Hasim, when you arrived at the Tzor, Akiv Azil Tzom of the Tzor, go out of your way and go to the Tzom of the Tzor, or by the name of Yaakov Ar-Idi, and ask him the question from Yaakov Ar-Idi, what's pshat in the story of Chiya? And he asked him, Mishal Chamos Irva, was it that it was the mother-in-law's food, or Mishim Dalai Zichzalan was disqualified because she didn't do an act of conferring ownership? Idem Mishalai Irva, she used the daughter-in-law's food, or Mishalai Mishalai Medata was made without her consent. Amalei, and he told him Mishum Chavmasa Irvala, the mother-in-law used her own food, and the problem was Mishum Delay Zechsala, because there was no act of Zikui. Omer Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, Naktinon, the halach is Echer Ruvi Tchumim, Vecher Ruvi Chetzeris, both by Ruvi Tchumim and Ruvi Chetzeris, and by Shtufim Vos, Tzarech Lezakis, in all situations, Zikui is required. By Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman asked, Erev Tavshilin, what's going to be halach by Erev Tavshilin when Yontif is on Friday, and then we have Shabbos the day after, that midaraisa, the halacha is, you're really allowed to prepare on that Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. However, the Rabbanon said that you're not allowed to prepare unless an Erev Tashilin is made. And we'll learn in Masechta Beya why. So the question is, if you're making Erev Tashilin, and you're not only making it on your own behalf, you're making it also on behalf of others. Tzarech lezakos, so any tzarech lezakos, is zikui required or not? I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, "Mighty Bailoi, what's the question? L'shmilei hodem Rav Nachman Adam Shmuel. Didn't you hear Rav Nachman Adam said the name Shmuel? The erev Tashilin, tzarech lezakos. The erev Tashilin, zikui is required if you're making it on behalf of others." It's obvious that Rav Nachman did not hear Shmuel's psak. Di Shmilei, had he heard it, Maitaboylei, what would be the question? Amalei, Rav Yosef said, Ata erf tchumim milay ame Shmulei tzarech lezakos. Didn't Shmuel say, as we just learned, that by erf tchumim there is no requirement of zikui, vami ihu, and yet Rav Nachman said tzarech lezakos, that zikui is required? So maybe Rav Nachman taka knew that Shmuel Paskin, that Erev Tavshilin Zikui is required, but he wanted to know, do we follow that psak or not? Says the Gemara, a proof that Rav Nachman was not aware of Shmuel's psak. Hachi hashta, bishlam ha'osam, how could you compare the situation of the Eruvei Tchumim to the situation of Eruvei Tavshilin? By the case of Eruvei Tchumim, as we just finished learning, Pligi Rav Shmuel. There's a machloikus of Rav Shmuel, the Kamashmalam, and that's why Rav Nachman told us, Chum and Damar, we pass in the Chumra by a Ruve Chetzeris like Shmuel, that Zika is required, the Chum and Damar, and we pass in by Ruve Tchumim the Chumra, that Zika is required. And the Ritva points out that although we learned a Gemara that somebody who follows all Chumras, the pasuk that says "Ksil b'chay shechaylech," the fool goes in the dark, is referring to such a pasuk. Says the Ritva, when is that said? That is said of a person in one subject matter follows all chumras. So that's a ksil. You have to follow one psak. You have to follow one shita. Sometimes it comes a kula. Sometimes it comes a chumra. Here, however, the shaila regarding a ruvit chumim and the shaila regarding Eruv Chetzeris are totally unrelated. And going l'chumra in both shailas is not a contradiction. Aval hocha, regarding Eruv Tashilim, Isa de Shmilei, had Rav Nachman heard Shmuel, Mikam and the Pollock, is there anybody that argues in Shmuel? He certainly wouldn't have had to say, it would have been obvious that he agrees with Shmuel. That's why it's a proof that he didn't know, and that's why he asked. And the halacha taka is, Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch points out that in all situations, zikui is required. This is actually relevant la halacha lemaisa. If somebody's making Erev Tashilin, he has guests coming to his home for Yontif, which is being followed by Shabbos. And those guests are not members of his household on a normal basis. And therefore, they don't automatically get included in his Erev Tashilin. So when he, but now the question is, do they need to have their own Erev Tavshilin or not? So the best thing is that they should not make their own Erev Tavshilin, rely on the Erev Tavshilin of the host and whose home they will be for Yontif Shabbos. However, the issue is, since it's not clear that they're automatically included in that Erev Tavshilin, when the Balabas makes an Erev Tavshilin, and he has them in mind, he has to be careful to be mezaka the Erev Tevshilin on their behalf. If they are already there when the Erev Tevshilin is being prepared on Erev Yontif, that's the best. But sometimes guests come right before the Zman, and the Erev Tevshilin is prepared earlier in Erev Yontif. If that's the case, then the Balabas should do Zikui, but it's important they can't do Zikui through his family members that live by him, as we learned in the Mishnah. Begins the Gemara. Hahu Terzine. There was a non-Jewish armory guard, Davishvus of the Reb Zeira, that lived in the neighborhood of Reb Zeira. And as we learned at the beginning of the previous perek, if somebody has a non-Jewish neighbor, he has to lease his rights to his home in order to avoid the problem of being able of having effective Erev Chatzeris in that neighborhood. Amalei, so they asked this guard, Oigalon Rishutzach, lease us rights to your home so that we should be able to make an Erev. Lo Yoigalu, and we refused to. Also came to Reb Zeira, so they came to Reb Zeira, Amalei, and they asked him, Ma Lamegim Devusu, can we rent rights to the property from this person's wife? Amalei, so he said, Hacha Amar Rishlokish Mishmei Degav Rabba, Rishlokish said in the name of a great person, or man who was the great person, Reb Chanina, Ishtishal Adam, my Revishloi Ladatai. A person's wife could join in the Erev without his consent. Tosfos asks, why do we have to bring a proof from that statement? We learned in the previous perek on Daf Samach Dalet that Tzchiroi Velakitoi Shal Goy. We learned a Gemara that if the Goy is refusing to lease the property, if somebody will get the rights to leave his utensils, if a Jew will get the right to leave his utensils in that non-Jew's property, then we could deal with that Jew in dealing with the Erev Chatzeris issue. So the wife should be no worse than the Schir Velakitoi. So Tosfos says, you're right. We could have mentioned that as a raya, but the Gemara preferred to bring this raya from Reish Lakish because this raya is speaking specifically about the wife. The Bach gives a different teretz. The Bach says that there is a difference between a wife of a goy and the schir of a lakita shel goy. The wife of a goy, the Bach says, is allowed to contribute to the Erev, or lease the property in our case, even if her husband is saying that he is against what she's doing. However, says the Bach, the schir of a lakita shel goy can only do it if the goy is not explicitly protesting. But if the guy is protesting, a schir v'lakita shel goy will not be effective. So we have a very big machloikis, Tosfos in the Bach. Could a schir v'lakita shel goy be effective when the guy is protesting? According to the Bach, they're not effective. According to Tosfos, they are. Says the Gemara, Hahu tarzina da'av b'shvusa de Rabbi Yehuda bar Oishia. There was a tarzina in the neighborhood of Yehuda bar Oishia. Amrlay, they said to him, Oigalon Rishusach, lease us rights in your area. Lay Oigal, he refused to. Oslo Kamed Rav Yehuda Bar Oishia, to the camp of Rav Yehuda Bar Oishia. Amrlay, and they asked him, Ma Lamega Devisai, could you rent from his wife? Lay Havi Beyodi, he didn't know. Oslo Kamed Rav Masl, so they went to Rav Nasna. Lay Havi Beyodi, he also didn't know. Oslo Kamed Rav Yehuda, they went to Rav Yehuda. Amlu, so he told them, Hachiam Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said, Ishtay, a person's wife could contribute to the Erev even without the husband's consent. And the way most Rishonim learn the situation, in this way Tosfos learns, that it's only relevant that she has the right to do this, is that if without her leasing the rights, the rest of the neighbors would have no way of carrying in this chotzer. But let's say there are ways to carry in this chotzer without her doing this, then this kula doesn't apply. However, according to Tosfos, even if the husband of this woman is protesting, she still has the right. The Rach has a different pshat. According to the Rach, it's just the opposite. If the husband is protesting, then she has no right. But if the husband is not protesting, she has the right, even if there are other options. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Noshim she'irvu v'nishtat v'shleim v'bas b'aleihem, if a woman joined in an Erev or Shtifim Mevoyos without the husband's permission, Ein Eruv Erev. The Erev is not effective. Then Shituf is Shutuf, and the Shituf is not effective by Shutufim Avos. So we see that they can't do it without the husband's permission. Loikasha. Ha, the Asar. When could a woman join an Erev without a husband's permission? Is in a situation, as we just explained, that without this Erev, they will not have a way of carrying in this Chatzar. Ha, when can she not do it? The Loy Asar, where they have other options, how to carry, let's say there's more than one door, more than one exit, that then she can't do it. Hochinam Stabra, this is the likely pshat in what Shmuel said. Dim Kain, because if you would say that Shmuel holds that a woman is always allowed to contribute, even without a husband's permission, Kasha the Shmuel the Shmuel. Dom Shmuel, Echav Bnei Mavi Shurag L'shtat Bnei Mavi, if there's a member of a Mavi who normally joins in the Shittif with the other members of the Mavi, V'loi N'shtatif, but this time he didn't. So the Aloch is, Bnei Amavi Nechnos Motoch Beisoi, his neighbors could go into his home, V'noit L'nshitufa B'men Abakarchai. They could take the Shittif from him without his permission, just getting his wife's permission. Rogalin, so what do we see? Only when he regularly joins Shen Ragel Aloy, but otherwise not. Shmami Nada must be a difference. What is the difference? Again, the difference is if this Erev is crucial for the ability to carry in this Chatzar, then we could take it from the wife without the husband's permission. If it's not that crucial, we have ways of carrying without, then we can't take it without the husband's permission. Now, there's a very interesting Machloikis Rishonim. When the Gemara here is talking about the wife, does it mean specifically the wife, or does it mean other family members also? So, it's Machloikis Rishonim. The Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah say that we paskin that this heter only applies to the wife. Why? Because by wife, we have a concept of ishtoi kegufoi, that somebody's wife is considered like he himself. And this is relevant for another shaila that the Shalos HaShuvos Shvus Yaakov discuss. The question is like this. Let's say someone, Chas V'Shalom, a Jew is Chas V'Shalom married to a non-Jewish woman, and she has chametz on Pesach. Do we say that that chametz has the status of chametz Shavu of a Pesach? That we know that chametz, which is owned by a Jew, which the Jew had ownership on over Pesach, we're not allowed to use that chametz after Pesach. So the question is, if the chametz was owned by a non-Jewish woman who's married to a Jew, will that chametz also be considered as if owned a Jew? What is the question? By Jews, we know the halach is, kol hashekan si'isha kan bala, whatever a wife owns, her husband owns. Do we say that that relationship also exists by non-Jews? So, according to the Manda Omer, the Rishonim, which is the way we paskin, that distinguish between the wife of Goy and the rest of his family members. Why? Because by Goy also we say that the wife's relationship with her husband is Kamashikan Sisha Kanabala. So it's that type of relationship exists there, which doesn't exist between other family members. That's why we see that even by non-Jews, we have this concept of a non-Jewish woman and a Jewish husband, we have the concept of Kazmashikan Tisha Kanabala, and therefore that chametz will be usher after Pesach, at chametz Shavu of a Pesach. Lema Masayle. So the Gemara attempts to bring a proof to Shmuel's psak from a braisa. Koifanoi say, we could force a neighbor, lasis lechi yakaira, lemovi. As we learned in the first parak, that if you have an alleyway that only has three walls and you want to be able to carry in there, you could either make a lechi, which is a side post, or kair, which is a beam across, and like that, you could carry in that movi. And the braisa says that we could force him to join if his non-joining will be detrimental to the rest of the neighbors. So we see that we can force a person. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hassam, you can't bring a proof from there because the lechem mechitzis. This is the way Rashi explains. A mavui is completely open on the third side. since the Mavui is completely open on the third side, that's why we can force, says Rashi, the person to join in a Lechi Kaira, because the Lechi Kaira encloses the Chatzar, and the person certainly will be agreeable to that. However, Erev doesn't have that goal, and therefore we can't force a person. So we can't bring a proof from Lechi and Vakaira to a Mavui. Eat Lashna Achrina Mitzad Shani. It's different when it's on the side. So the Bach and many Mefarshim don't understand what this word Mitzad Shani mean, and the Bach in fact removes these words from the Gemara. However, the Shailos Hatshuvos Pnei Yeshua explains this line in the Gemara based on something that Tosfos says. Rashi said that at the beginning of the Gemara, the top of the Amud, Shani Hasan the Lekha Mechitzis, that what was the difference between a Mavui and a Rishus that you need to make an Erev? So Rashi said, because a Lechi or Kaira serve as a Mechitza, an Erev doesn't serve as a Mechitza. As Tosfos, a Lechi or Kaira aren't a Mechitza. A Mechitza is a wall, it's a partition. This isn't a partition. It's just a small strip across the top or along the side. You can't call that a wall. And therefore, Tosfos explained that by a Lechi or Kaira, we're not making the Lechi and Kaira inside the Rishus that is in question. The Lechi and Kaira is made on the outside to serve as a separation between inside the Mavui and outside the Mavui. However, Erev is relevant to inside the Chatzar that's in discussion. And that's why a Lechi and Kaira by a Mavui are different than Erev and Chatzaris. According to that, according to Rashi, that's what Mitzad Shani means. Mitzad Shani, you can't bring a proof from a Lechi and Kaira to an Erev, because an Erev is inside the area that's under discussion that has to be effective. A Lechi and Kaira is outside. Another pshat is that what's the difference between a Mavui with a Lechi and Kaira and a Chatzar? A Chatzar is a kinyan. We're all becoming equal partners in this entire area. A partnership cannot be done without das, without knowledge, without consent. Mavui, a Lechi Kaira, is not a kinyan, it's not ownership, it's a piece of wood, it's a partition. And therefore, you can't bring a proof from Lechi and Kaira to Erev. Itmar. Rav Chiba Rashi Omer, Oysen Lechi Asherah, and a Lechi can be made out of the Asherah tree, which we spoke at the beginning of the Shir, was a tree which was worshipped for Avodah Zorah, which is not allowed to be used, which we're not allowed to know from. Rishim and Lokish Omer, Oysen Kaira Asherah. We could even make a Kaira, the cross beam from Asherah. Mandam Kaira explains the Gemara. According to Mandam that says that you can make a Kaira out of Asherah, Koshke Lechi, you certainly can make a Lechi out of an Asherah. Why? Because a Kaira requires much more of a shear than a Lechi. Mandam Lechi, however, the Mandam that says you can make a Lechi out of a Asher tree, of a Kaira loy, he's going to hold you not allowed to make a Kaira. Why? Because Ketusei Michta Shiroi. Since a Kaira has a required measurement, and the Torah tells us that we have to burn, destroy this Asher tree, so then the Kaira doesn't have a shear. It's a burnt item. And therefore, the Kaira will be disqualified from a Asherah. As Tosfos, a Lechi also requires a shear. It has to be 10 tefachim high. So why is the Gemara differentiating between a Lechi and a Kaira? So Tosfos has two answers. One answer Tosfos says is that since by a Lechi, the side post could be extremely small, even if it's a kol shehu, so therefore, Tosfos says, even if you'll say Ketusei Mechta Shurei, it's no problem. The second Tosfos says is, yes, you have to burn the Asherah. But if you burn the Asherah, and you're left with the dust, and you'll take that dust, and you'll apply it to the side, that will be a kosher Lechi. So therefore, you taka destroyed it, but you can still use it for a Lechi. You cannot take those pieces and make it into a Kaira. Why? Because the Kaira has to have a shear that it should be strong enough to hold, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, and a Riach, a half a brick. Says Rabbi Kivega, that we also learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that if the Kaira is 4 tefachim wide, then it doesn't make a difference how strong it is. Even if it's not strong enough to support Dariach, you could put, it's a kosher kaira. So says the Rekiv Eger, if you're going to make a kaira out of an asherah, but it's going to be four tefachim wide, so therefore it doesn't have to support anything, it'll have the same, everybody will agree it has the same din as a lechi, and it can be made out of an asherah tree. That's Rabbi Kiv Eger. Prima Gadim disagrees with Rabbi Kiv Eger, because the Prima Gadim discusses making a tzuras ha-pesach out of an asherah tree, and the Prima Gadim says that you can make the side post, but you can't make the top out of the asherah. Now the question is, if we're saying that if it's significant, then it doesn't make a difference, so like Rabbi Kiv Eger says, so why does Prima Gadim make a difference between the top of the side post and the side? So we see that Prima Gadim disagrees with Rabbi Kiv Eger. There's a vart from Chaim Brisker in explaining the difference between the lechi and the kaira. He says like this: a kaira is a hecker. The point of a kaira is that it should be a sign to separate between inside the mavi and outside the mavi, so it has to be significant. And since it, by a shera tree, we say ketuse mechta shiure, it doesn't exist and it has to be destroyed, so it can't be significant to be a hecker. A lechi is a mechitza. But says Reb Chaim Brisker, what is pshat in a mechitza? We could look at a mechitza in one of two ways. One way we could say is a mechitza is a partition. We have to have a wall. We have to have a partition separating. Another way of looking at a mechitza is not that we have to have a wall separating. It's the area under discussion has to be enclosed. It's not that it has to have a significant partition to enclose it. It just has to be enclosed. So even though the lechi was made out of an asherah, and taka an asherah is ketuse mechta shiurei, it has to be destroyed so the halacha doesn't view it as an existence, but that means that the partition is in existence. But the area that has to be enclosed is enclosed. And therefore, since it's enclosed, it will still be valid. You have to understand the pshat clearly. But, and Ritva points out, this entire discussion is only by the asherah that's owned by a Jew. Where there the halacha is, it must be burnt, there is no other option what to do with it. However, the asherah owned by a goy, where the goy has the option of just being mevatel it, that means he could just say that it's no longer an avodah zarah, and that'll be enough. There, the halacha will be that you could use a for both for a lechi and for an asherah, both for a lechi and a kaira d'asherah of a non-Jew. Continues the Mishnah. Nismat ha'oichel. If the food used for the shittif or for the erev became diminished. Maisef mezaka. Somebody could take his own food to complete the amount needed for the shittif, and that will be enough for the other people. So the Rishonim point out that if the food is diminished before the first Shabbos that we're ever relying on this Erev, the Erev is not going to be a good Erev. And everybody agrees that if it's diminished after the beginning of that Shabbos, that for the rest of this Shabbos, that Erev will be a good Erev. The question is, what will be the halacha for further Shabbosim? Since it's a new Shabbos, and the beginning of this new Shabbos, I didn't have the right amount, I have to make a new Erev, or since for the first Shabbos it was a good Erev, it remains valid for further Shabbosim, even though for the next Shabbos it didn't have the shear. So the halacha is that if it became diminished before the first Shabbos, where everybody agrees you have to replenish it, so the halacha is somebody can add his own food and he doesn't have to tell the other residents. Netos v'leim. However, if more residents were added to the schatzer, new people moved in, and now we don't have enough food for a shittif for all the people, Maisa Mazaka, he can add his own food and he confers ownership to the new residents, but Tzarech Loidiyai, he has to notify them what he's and get their approval if he wants to use, according to Rashi, their food. So Rashi is explaining that when do I need to get their permission? If I'm taking their food, as we learned at the beginning of Shir, you can never use somebody else's food without their permission. But according to Rashi, if I'm using my own food, I don't have to get their own permission. Furthermore, the Ritva says that let's say there was enough food put down in the first Erev, which will also cover the new residents, then nothing needs to be done. Because the Ritva says that the original residents, when they put down their food, they intended to include all future residents in the Shittuf. The Rambam has a different pshat. The Rambam says that even if I'm taking my own food, I have to tell them, because perhaps they may not want to have be included and have that the shittuf should be made, because they may not want people walking, or they may want to choose other options. Kamashurim, how much food has to be contributed to the shittuf? There's matchim in Reuben, when you have a lot of people, mazon shtei sudos lekulam, you have to give enough for two meals for one person, that's enough for all of them. Now, the Rishonim, and that's the way it's in Shulchan Aruch, it's only referring to food that's eaten by itself. But let's say you have food which is only used as an accompaniment to bread, which in halachic terms is called lifton. The amount required is the amount of that food that would be eaten with bread during two meals. Bizman Shmiutim, when there are less people, Gregus l'kalecha kechet. Enough for Gregor's a dry fig for each one. Rabbi Yosi, Mamurim. When were these rules of measurement said? Betchilas Erev. When we're putting down the Erev. Abishiyari Erev. Kal Shehu. Then, if you're talking about leftover Erev, then any amount is sufficient. And like we said at the beginning, it doesn't need to be replenished for following Shabbosim. Tanakama, that's where we have Machlokas Tanakama, Rabbi Yosi. Tanakama says for the next Shabbos, it will have to be replenished. For the Amru, furthermore, Rav Yosi says, La'arba chetzeres, ekelei shaloi tishtake chetanoikis. So the way Rashi explains this line is like this. We learned earlier in the Masechta that if shtufim avos are made, the chachamim ramei have machloikis if aruvei chetzeres need to be made. Racham hold that aruvei chetzeres don't have to be made in those cases, and the ramei says it does. So, according to Rashi, the Pshat in the Gemara is that if Shtufim Avos were made and Eruvei Chetzeres were made, so really there was no need for Eruvei Chetzeres, even according to Rameya, because Rameya says, because we have a Shtufim Avos. The only reason we're making an Erev is Kedosh Lo Tishtakech Teres Erev, that we should, children should realize that there's a need for an Erev. In such a case, the required amount is not a need. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara tries to understand the first rule of the Mishnah that taught us that if the food became diminished, you could replace it without obtaining permission or consent from the other people. B'maiskin, exactly what is the case are we talking about? Ilema b'minechad, that the same type of food is being used as the original food. Mayirina smat, what's the difference if it became diminished? I feel a kolanami, even if it was completely consumed, we should be able to make a new Erev without the other neighbor's permission. Because they already showed us that they want the Erev to be created this way. Ella is talking about b'shnei minim. Two different types of food were used. So I feel in smart namiloi. Now you're using a new type of food. So even if the first food is only diminished, you should not be allowed to make an Erev without their consent. The Tanya. Kala oichel min echad. If the food that was put down for an Erev was totally consumed, and it's being replaced by the same type of food, and tzarech le'diyoy, you don't have to get permission from the neighborhoods. Bebeis minim, if they're using a different type, tzarech le'diyoy, you have to notify them. So how are we going to explain the Mishnah that says nismat? Answers the Gemara. There's a way of explaining that the Mishnah is talking about that the same type that was originally used is being used. You could explain it that a new type of food is being used. We could say that our Mishnah is talking a case where the food is the same type, mine is smart, and when the Mishnah uses the word the smart, it doesn't mean diminish, it means the smatate. The smatate means totally consumed. Our Mishnah is talking that the replacement food and the new food are different types. Kolishani, it's different when the food was totally consumed. That's the only case that the Brisa requires to get prior approval of the neighbors before replacing the shitta food with a different type of food. However, when it was only depleted, they can be replenished without permission. Which, as Rashi points out, the Gemara is changing from what it said earlier. The Tosfalim Moisa Mazakin. If new neighbors came, we have to add and we have to confer ownership. Amrav Shizbi, Amrav Chizda, Zoy Samaris, Chlukin Lav Chaver Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's colleagues argued him that not. We learned in the Mishnah, Amrav Yehuda, the Medvar Mamurim. When did Rav Yehuda say that you have to get permission from the new neighbors? Beiruv Tchumim. Because as we said, Erev Tchumim is not a benefit. Because what you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. When it comes to Ruvich Hatzeris, you can do it even without permission of the new neighbors. Which is in this disagreement what we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you need permission even of the new neighbors, and our Mishnah is talking about Ruvich Hatzeris. Says the Mapshita the Chulukin. Obviously we have Machlokes. What was Rav Shizbi trying to teach us? Answers the Gemara. Manitema, I might have said the Am Mishnah is talking about a case Hanimil b'chotzer ben shtei mavos, when chotzer is between two mavos, and that's when consent of the new neighbors is required. Av chotzer shem mavi yachid, because we don't know in which direction these new neighbors want their erev to go. But if there's a chotzer with only one mavi, so there's no question where they want their erev to go. Emeloi, I could say that they don't need to agree. Kamash Malon, that's what Rav Shizbi teaches us, that even if it's only one mavui, we need their consent. But, like Rashi explains, why is their consent required? Because we're using their food. And I can't take somebody else's property without his permission. However, if we're not using his food, there, everybody will agree that consent is not required. Kamushiroi, so the Mishnah asked what was the shear that we need for Erev, and the Mishnah made a difference between there were many people and few people. Kama Merubin, so how many are many people? Or Rabbi Yehuda, or Meshmul, Shmanes Bnei Adam, 18 people. Asked the Gemara, Shmanes Vesuloi, only 18 and no more? Answers the Gemara, Eimim Shmanes V'Eilch, means 18 and more. Any group larger than 18. Or Mashmanes V'Eilch, so why did he mention 18? Or Rabbi Yehuda, any case, if you divided the 2 meal amount of food between them, and there isn't enough of a dried fig for every individual, that's considered a large group, and in such circumstances, the din of our Mishnah of Sagib and Mazon Shtei Sudas, and it's enough to have the mat for 2 meals, for all of them is enough. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Viloi, if there are not so many people, so you don't have to give such a large amount, Mu'at and Ninu, it's considered a smaller group, and you don't have to have so much food. The Agav Orcha Kamashma, what the Mishnah is teaching us is, the Shtei Sudas have in Shmanes Gregorius, that what is the amount for 2 meals? The amount that contain 18 dried figs. Machlaikis Rishonim, how much does that amount to? Does it equal 6 bayim, 6 eggs, or Shmanes bayim, or 8 bags? The Mishnah Berurah paskens lechatchila, you should use 6. Lechatchila, you should use the amount of 8 eggs, but the Evid, the amount of 6 eggs is enough. The Tzvar points out, interestingly, that our Mishnah Gemara only discusses what the shear is if we're using solid food. What about by liquids? So the Tzvar says that just like we find by Shabbos, the shear for carrying is groigris, and that became the shear in our Mishnah too, so too is the shear by liquids. That the shear for liquid by Shmesakta Shabbos we always find is a revius. So here too the shear of liquid would be a revius. However, the Ritva says that if you're using wine, you don't have to have a whole revius. A rive revius, a quarter revius will be enough.